T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, Hub, I think you hit a great point there.
Hub Arkish.
The Arkish family in pro football media journalism has been around almost as long as the game itself.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
Hub, would you consider being the GM for the Chicago Bears?
George McCaskey, if you're listening, I'm waiting for the call.
Shaw Media and Pro Football Weekly.
As much of an incredibly giant bag as he is, ooh, Rodgers was right. They owned the Bears.
Yeah! Hub Arkish, that's getting better than this.
Hub Arkish with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. All sorts of trash talk this week. You can hear Lance Briggs react to Eddie Jackson tweeting about him tonight, his first comments on it. The Miller Lite Top Draft Show at Beacon Tap at Des Plaines. So tune into that with Anthony Heron right after us. We'll have Olin Kreutz on with us at 4 o'clock. But now we talk to Hub. It's brought to you by the Marquee Sports Network. Watch Bear Essentials Tuesday at 7, only on Marquee. Hey, Hub, how's it going?
Hello, Hub.
Bueller. Okay?
He was just there. Just talk to him.
He'll, all right. What's up, yeah. Hub?
I mean, he was there. So the fact he just dropped off a second ago.
Okay. My bad. All right.
I'm glad he asked him again.
All right. Well, you guys let me know when he's back. I misunderstood the instructions.
Hey, one more time. See how Hub is.
Yeah, let me try.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead? Go ahead.
Hub, how are you? All right.
Hey, guys.
Oh, this is an interesting idea.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to? So, Hub, were you surprised by?
True.
Interesting. Were you surprised by the outcome of that game? No, I wasn't surprised.
No, here's the thing, Danny. I wasn't really surprised at all. It's just there's no, you can't. I don't have a good Hub.
I think we got him.
Oh, you were doing great.
He does the best Hub. Hub Arkish does the best Hub impression of anybody I've ever heard.
Hello.
Hello. What's up, Hub?
Oh, no, we don't have him.
Oh, no!
Hello.
There he is! I think
guys,
we got
I'm
him.
Hearing you fine.
Hello? Arkish?
Yes, okay.
Hello.
This is amazing. We get to talk to Hub.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Guys, I'm hearing you fine. I don't know what's going on the other end, but thank you for having me. And I got to start with an apology, because while I could swear I have heard every one of you use the expression that I used yesterday morning for Aaron Rodgers. Apparently, it's not allowed, so I apologize for that. I'm sorry.
You know what? Here's the thing. It is allowed. It's just not allowed at this radio station. There are absolutely other radio stations that would allow you to say that, but we are not allowed to say it.
But it was a beautiful moment, because this game, Hub, this sport that you love and have devoted your life to, is so much about people with violent tendencies and physically volatile personalities trying to control that emotion and channel it. And certain times, moments like that can really bring it out of you. What about Aaron Rodgers really brings it out for you, that visceral disgust that you clearly have with him on that level?
Well, I think that it's that, you know, pretty much 24/7, 365, he is exactly what I called him. You know, and it's just in this particular case, though, hey, on one hand, give him credit. He is absolutely one of the greatest of all times, and he does own the Chicago Bears. What upsets me about it is, can you imagine hearing Tom Brady say that, Drew Brees say that, Russell Wilson say that? You know, no, it doesn't happen with the great ones. But that kind of thing happens with him just more than it should for a guy who's accomplished as much as he has. He shouldn't need to validate himself that way.
On the field, do you think that, like, Tom Brady doesn't talk trash?
I don't know what he does on the field, but I know he doesn't do it with fans in the end zone. You know, or if he has, it's certainly never been reported, and I've never seen it or heard it. You know, again, my understanding, and I was up in the press box, so I had to hear about all this afterwards, didn't really catch it. But everything I've heard is that it was between him and fans. It wasn't even trash talking with players on the field. And you know, you just got to be bigger than that. You got to know better than that. But again, hey, listen, it's true. He was right, you know, so he's who he wants to be, and you know, hopefully he's comfortable with it.
He seems to be. Hub, we're going to have you reconnect a little bit. I guess there's a lag or a delay, so we're going to try to get a better connection with Hub Arkish.
Important to note for some folks still asking, no, it's not a taunting moment. It's not a taunting penalty because you're allowed to celebrate touchdowns, and then he's yelling at the crowd. And not technically yelling at the other team. But either way, you're allowed to celebrate touchdowns, so it's not something that's going to come up that way as we reestablish here with Hub Arkish, who contends that Tom Brady nor others have trash-talked on the field that way.
With the fans.
Right, on the field with the fans.
So, you know, the thing about Rodgers to me, Hub, that's always been interesting is, like, he's just a different personality. Prior to this, what was it about him that you didn't like? Because I know you're not a fan of him. Obviously, he owns the Bears, but I don't think that's the basis of your issue. And then we'll get to your film review here in just a minute. But, like, I have always found him to be interesting because he is cerebral. He does share his opinion on things as opposed to just canned, cliched, standard quarterback answers. So removing I own you from the conversation, what's bothered you about Rodgers?
Well, I don't remember the exact date, but I can tell you exactly what it was. And let me say that earlier in his career, I really liked the guy. I was impressed by him. I had some great interviews with him. I had nothing negative to say with him. But it was pretty much the day he made public that he disowned his parents that I decided, okay, that's enough for me. You know? And so, I mean, you know, guys, you don't disown your family. And every family has their issues. Lord knows mine does. You know, there have been moments when it seemed like it might not be a bad idea. But since that happened, and most of what his public persona has been since, has brought me to where I am now. And I was not nearly as strong on it 6-8 months ago as I am now with the way he absolutely trashed his own organization, his own team, and his fan base with his behavior this past off season. So, you know, to me, there's plenty of reason to feel that way. Doesn't matter. You know, he and I are never going to be friends or neighbors. He's always going to be one of the greatest to ever play the game. And hopefully the Bears will beat him once before he's done.
I think there's a lot of people that feel the way that Hub does. And I certainly, here's the thing. Rodgers needs to just own that that's going to be the consequence of him being this way. That's why I didn't like today. He said something, Hub, where he said, have we grown so soft as a society that we can't handle a little blah, blah, blah. No, go ahead and just accept that people are going to hate you because you are a certain way. That's the price of doing business.
Yeah, and you know, listen, if he wants to say that reacting to I own you is going soft, I'll give him that. I mean, you know, what he said doesn't bother me so much. It was completely without class. It was unnecessary. I mean, you know, act like you've been, what's the famous expression? You're in the end zone, act like you've been there before. You know, walk away. You don't get into it with fans. This isn't to me that we've already given it more time than it's probably worth. But the man overall, you know, and who he's become and what he's done, I find a lot of issues with the way he treats people and the situation and the sport and the business that's been so good to him.
So after your film review of the game, there's a lot there, obviously. It was ugly for long stretches of time, and there were good moments. I'm curious, on like a week-to-week basis, are you seeing the improvement that you would hope and expect to see from Justin Fields?
No, not this week for the first time. Now, I did see significant improvement with his legs. You know, we all saw that. You know, he made some plays. But, you know, Danny, I mean, at the end of the day, it's fairly simple. He's clearly holding the ball too long. He's still not seeing everything he needs to see. And this one was a bit frustrating because, you know, there's a few things that you see. I thought it was interesting in the post-game press conference. And again, I love the kid. I couldn't be more impressed by him. But this was the first time he seemed just a tad petulant, a tad defiant. And that suggested to me that his performance got to him a little bit. And he came out and said it a couple times. I have to be better. And the reason I feel bad for him is because he is, he's a fantastic athlete. There's a chance he's going to be really good at this. But this takes time, you know, and it was always going to be that way. All of the rookie quarterbacks are going through this. Obviously, Mac Jones is more efficient than the other four, but the Patriots are 2-4. And so now it just becomes a question of how long is it going to take, and everybody's on their own clock, you know, and I'm sure he is seeing more and learning more each week, but this, that you're not seeing the results on the field. You know, they had two drives, actually they had basically one and a half drives that represented 35% of their offense in the game. You got to have better balance than that. You got to make more plays, but there's no way to rush it. You know, it's experience, and now you just got to give it time and let it happen.
And this is what's super frustrating, Hub, is that when we zoom out here and we go back in time a little bit, not giving him reps with the ones, not giving him practice time in August, and you know, all through the early of the regular season has put his clock where it is. So his clock is where it is. Trevor Lawrence is throwing 36 passes a game. Zach Wilson, 34 passes a game. Mac Jones, 35 passes a game. Justin Fields, 21. And some of that is situational, obviously, but he is further behind. It doesn't match up. The fact that he's playing now and having to deal with not having had a chance to get himself ready to be playing now, that feels to me like Matt Nagy really messed up in that regard.
Well, listen, Matt, I'm not saying you're wrong. But I think you're badly overrating that. Number one, he did get reps with the ones. They made a point of that. They even talked about the plan and the schedule and how they did it. He didn't get all the reps with the one. The fact that all the reps in practice with the ones would mitigate some of the struggles he's having on the field, you know, just based on my experience, are not consistent with each other. This is what happens to rookie quarterbacks. And this is one of the reasons that the prevailing wisdom, not necessarily a strong consensus, but certainly the majority, is that you do let these kids wait and watch for a while. And there are many who believe that they learn as much or more that way as they do, A, getting reps with the one or playing too soon. There is no right or wrong answer. I'm not suggesting that there is. I've tried to be as clear as I could since Sunday. I'm not saying that they win the game with a different quarterback. There's nothing to suggest that. And there are those who don't care about that. They're saying that's not what's the most important right now. But this takes time, no matter what the circumstance is, whether you're sitting and watching for 10 or 12 or 14 weeks, whether you're starting on day one and who you're practicing with in practice. You know, practice is not game speed. It's not seeing other athletes, other players. It's getting to know the league. So maybe that slowed him down a little bit. But it's not like if he had, you know, been the starter from the day he was drafted and taken all the practice reps with the ones in the off season, that he would necessarily be that much or even any further along right now.
Do you think it certainly has been that conventional wisdom in football historically, but I think it is changing. Like I think that, I mean, the four of the five are going to play the overwhelming majority of their rookie year this year. Mm-hmm. The majority of the first rounders played last year, right? Obviously, Tua was injured and was in and out, and then Burrow got hurt, but he played what, 9 games last year before the injury. Justin Herbert mm-hmm. played 15. Like my belief is that the pendulum has shifted, and that now going forward, if you are a quarterback drafted in the first round, it is more likely than not that you will play the majority of your rookie season.
Danny, you may be right. I can't answer that. I mean, I think it depends on who drafts you and what that team is trying to do. I do know, and I haven't looked yet. I've been so busy. But going into Sunday, yeah, 4 of the 5 started from day one, and 4 of the 5 were 4 of the 5 lowest-rated quarterbacks in the NFL. So,
well, right.
You know,
but it's not about success, but just about development and playing them.
You may be right, and I think we'll see what the results are. Why that would suddenly be changing, I don't know, because if you go back over all the most recent failures, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, they all started day one, you know, so you got them all starting day one. Although, now look at the 49ers, who were supposed to be a contender this year. They don't want Trey Lance on the field. They didn't want him starting, but, you know, they had to because Garoppolo was hurt. So I don't know. This will be easy enough to track as we just go through a couple more years.
Exactly.
I think Baker Mayfield started day one. Justin Herbert didn't, and they didn't want him to, but he started week three after the injury. Was it week two or week three? Did he get in? Whenever the injury, not the injury, but the medical malpractice.
Yeah, it was week
occurred,
two.
You know, we'll see. This will be easy enough to track as we give history time to evolve.
So this week they play Tampa, and the Bucs have the best rush defense in the NFL by far. They're giving up like 54 yards per game running the football. It's best in the league. The second best is 80-something yards per game. So it's overwhelming, and as long as Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh play, going back to last year, no one has run on them with any degree of success. But that is the only thing the Bears have been able to do successfully offensively. What do you expect the game plan to look like Sunday against Tampa?
You know, my guess is it's going to look pretty similar to the Packers game plan. I think that, you know, we've heard for 2-3 weeks now that they feel like they've now established an identity. This is what the identity is going to be, and that's what you got to go with if that's what your identity is. I think part of the problem, though, is if Damian Williams doesn't get off that COVID list, they really can't because Khalil Herbert was great Sunday. He was everything you could ask him to be. I think they got something there in the sixth round, but you know, understandably, they didn't trust or give the ball to Ryan Nall or Artavis Pierce. And so it's the 1-2 punch that's created that identity. First Montgomery and Williams, and then Williams and Herbert. And they're not going to have that. So, you know, unless they want to give the ball to Artavis Pierce or Ryan Nall, it probably will get adjusted somewhat. I think the other thing you got to remember is that the Bucs' run defense is really good. I'm not suggesting it's not. You just mentioned two of the reasons. I mean, I think Vita Vea and Kenny Clark are probably the two best nose tackles in football right now. They're the guys that Eddie Goldman is chasing, so you get them back to back. But one of the reasons the Bucs' numbers are so good is they're also 32nd in the league against the pass, and that always skews this. So they can't give up the run. They've got to stay with their identity, and maybe the plan is to throw the ball 10% more, 15% more, but they're not going to come out and be, you know, throwing the ball all over the field. There's nothing to suggest that they can succeed or win that way.
So maybe this is a good week for Jimmy Graham to get his second catch. Where does that stand on the most egregious Ryan Pace mistakes of this past offseason? There's no usage there, nor is there utility for Jimmy Graham right now. It drives me crazy.
You know, Matt, I hear you and I understand why you'd think that, but I don't know yet if that is on Ryan Pace. He's not the one who's not playing him and not throwing him the football. We had every other week we get to talk to the position coaches, and I spent quite a bit of time with Clancy Barone yesterday and asked him that question specifically. And you know, these assistants are going to be very careful not to say anything that ends up in quotes or, you know, on the air or whatever. And Clancy gave me a long explanation of how the passing game works, at which point I said, okay, thank you. But now my question is, why isn't Jimmy Graham getting the football? And his answer was, he's one of a lot of guys that aren't getting the football right now. And so now we start to come full circle as to how much of this is the lack of the development of the passing game overall, and how much of that is the commitment to developing the young quarterback. I don't know. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here. You just look at the tape each week. Jimmy Graham, he's getting way too much to be a blocking tight end, but his blocking has been excellent. It's gotten better week to week. And I asked Clancy specifically, I said, is there any change physically? Is it an eighth of a step he lost that you're worried about? And he said, no, we think he's every bit as good as he was last year when he led the team in touchdown receptions. So, the question is, did Ryan Pace make a huge mistake, or are they just not using them because this offense isn't working right now? And I don't know.
Hub, what do the Bears do without Robert Quinn if that is indeed the way this is going? It is reported now as a positive test. He needs to, or a negative test, excuse, or a positive test again, excuse me. He needs to have two negative tests within 24 hours of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same as anything else, Matt. It's next man up. I think it's doubly concerning because you could tell Khalil Mack was playing on one leg Sunday, and Akeem Hicks clearly came back too soon. I think I heard, I don't know, Danny, I think you look at this sometimes. Is the number 12 or 12 and a half or something like that?
You think I look at this sometimes. That's very kind of you. Yes, 12 and a half. 12 and a half.
We don't spend enough time off the air together.
I look at an NFL line for a time or two.
I think you guys should spend more time together off the air.
I agree. But, yeah, they're 12.5 point underdogs, but it'll probably be 13 by kickoff.
All right, we'll work on that, Matt.
Yeah.
guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun. I don't know why anybody
for
else
sure.
does.
For
no,
sure.
I agree with you.
We loved the Twitter interaction last week, and I tend to make too much of it because I've been uncomfortable with conflict my entire life. But I'll send you my $35 copay, and we'll move on from there.
You know, guys, I just – nobody's going to pick the Bears to win this game for obvious reasons. You know, you certainly hope – I guess the bigger concern right now is that all of a sudden, after really having minimal problems with COVID, you've got multiple guys popping up with tests now. You know, you had Mike Furry, and I think there was another – coach who either had close contact or tested positive. Now, if it's true that Quinn is testing positive, obviously it's in the building now. And so that's the only place you can focus. I mean, as far as the game plan Sunday, it's a huge loss to not have Quinn. Travis Gibson has been coming on, you know, and hopefully Khalil Mack can get closer to 100% and Gibson can step up and have a breakout moment. Hopefully, you know, Mario Edwards can actually get to the quarterback without, you know, losing 15 yards for you know, the benefit, you know, the reward for getting there. And you go out and you do the best you can, but this is obviously not the week that you want to have to go without Robert Quinn, who has clearly been your best defensive player since the beginning of the season.
By the way, Hub, as a fellow sports gambler, congratulations on your Jesper Horsted anytime touchdown score. $20 into 18-20. My God.
Woo!
I mean, you are. Yeah. Can you text me these locks in the future, please?
Well, since I was stupid enough to tweet it, it was actually $40 into 2,100. But it's
hoi polloi.
Guys, you know, and nobody wants to believe it, and I'm sure after my responding, they're not going to believe it. It was literally the second bet I've made in 25 or 30 years. I'm sitting around the media room a week ago Friday. I'm the last guy there, and the injury report comes out, and I see both J.P. Holtz and
Jesse
James are going to be out. So I said, okay. Jesper's got to get a jersey Sunday. And the last time he had one, he scored 3 touchdowns. I called Arthur, who plays a little bit. I knew he had an account. And I said, can you tell me, you know, what the odds are on Jesper Horsted, you know, scoring a touchdown? And he said, 14-1. I said, I'm not, you know, risk money for 14-1. And he said, now, the odds on the first touchdown are 90-1. And I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. Thanks. I get up the next morning, I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you don't do this and it happens. So I called him back and I said, I want to lose $40. This is the way I gamble, okay?
Yeah.
And you know what happened, you know? And now nobody can believe it, but everybody wanted to know what I played this week. No, I'm keeping my winnings, guys. That's the only way you win.
Taking your money off the table, the old hit and run. Hit and run, Hub.
You know, there's not much that we can educate you about, but Hub, I believe the quote is, this is how they get you. This is exactly how it happens. Be careful, sir.
Guys, I promised my wife we would refinish the deck, and I got it done, and so I don't have the money left to give back. So it's all good stuff.
The deck brought to you by Jesper Horsted. I like it.
Well, my favorite part was the guys in the room were kidding me, and so last Wednesday I went to Deerfield Bakery, and I got stuff for everybody in the media room, and then I told the PR guys, there's Jesper Horsted donuts in the media room if you want to come down and grab some. So one of the guys comes up to me in the press box, and he says, does Jesper Horsted really have his own donut? I had to tell him the story. But he was responsible. And by the way, what a great kid. We've actually DM'd a little bit since, and I hope he, you know, gets a chance and has his breakout moment because he's a really good young man.
All right, Hub, turning a Jesper Horsted bet into a deck, donuts, and a source.
Get off the deck!
I love it. Hub, have a good day.
Take care, guys.
Olin Krutz in 15 minutes. Aaron Rodgers kind of called him soft. He responds coming up. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
Parkins and Spiegel show flashback. Guys,
I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
Always a good sign when that needs clarifying.
Good job, Tanny. This is the right time of the hour to point out the possibility for fun exists. We have fun between like 31 and what, 46 or so?
No, we try to reserve it for between 49 and a late break at 55.
Man.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Fun is good. We're pro fun. We schedule fun.
I bet Hub and Crane would be a blast.
What a wild party that would be.
Yeah.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
So do we, Hub. So do we.
I don't think you do.
No.
But I really do.
I
genuinely love talking to Hub every week.
I get exhausted every once in a while, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, it's like, it's not about me. You enjoy it. Hub enjoys it. And the world enjoys it, theoretically.
The metrics suggest that the audience seems to enjoy it.
There you go.
It's old school v. new school football philosophy. I enjoy it.
I don't believe in metrics myself. I don't trust them.
I bet.
I wouldn't trust them to position a defense. Fence in an infield.
No.
I wouldn't trust them for a lot of things. Got boys coming over tonight. Red Sox, Astros, game 4. Let's go. Fenway looks beautiful on the big screen. Got 4 guys coming over. Here's my question to you. 4 men between the ages of 47 and 52, all of us around that. What did I decide to get for snacks? Post-dinner situation, but I want something to be available for the duration of the game. What did I do?
Prune juice.
Oh, wow, that hurts.
A heated blanket.
That's not a snack.
Something soft and easily digestible.
The condensed version of the game in case someone falls asleep.
Oh,
I was gonna say, I have the first crack at a real guess. How about like a cheese and cracker tray?
Oh, see, God love you, Chris Tannehill. It's exactly right. Cheese, crackers, a hard salami, some garlic stuffed olives.
And let me guess, Speaks.
Yeah.
This is pre-assembled and you're doing no work here?
Incorrect. Thanks, Shane.
Wow.
I chose my own Cerignola olives because is that the right way to say it? Cerignola?
I don't know, man. I'm not an Italian.
Okay. you're the chef dude on this show.
It doesn't matter. I don't like the Italians.
Yeah, but those are like creamy and rich, full-bodied olives. And I got the little pepito.
Which is great because rich, full-bodied is going to be there tonight.
He's coming by. Along with less tasty, which is what I think of the Kalamata olives. Both those guys are going to be there.
Bad take.
Now, really?
Bad take.
Nah, Cerignola over Kalamata. Every day. Every day, MF-er.
I spend a lot of time at the Whole Foods olive bar just picking out different stuffed olives. I'm a huge stuffed olive guy.
Yeah. Totally normal thing to do.
Garlic or blue cheese or what?
I prefer blue cheese.
Feet.
But also, here's a hack for you.
What?
Aldi sells a jarred blue cheese stuffed olive for like $1.19, and there are probably 50 of them in there. I've got 6 jars in my cabinet right now.
Here's the truth. You could have said, here's a hack, Aldi, and stopped there.
Yeah.
Because that place, man, except for the produce, yeah. But there is stuff there. Like, they've stepped up. They're part of the Trader Joe's family, and there's some things going on at the Aldi.
Love Aldi.
Tanny made a joke earlier today, and I was like, you know, that's... We were talking about Ray Clay, Aldi brand Ray Clay, over at the Skies Press, at the Skies Parade.
Inside joke.
Yeah, let's keep it there.
I disagree. That's the kind of stuff the world needs.
J.B. Pritzker.
Here she is, Tony Preckwinkle.
Solid callback from a texter. You are having 1 pound of shrimp. For everyone coming up.
That's a really good callback.
That is very strong.
Very good.
All right, we have to give maximum time for Olin Kreutz to verbally punch Aaron Rodgers in the face because Aaron Rodgers kind of called Olin Kreutz soft. Not something I would do even from hundreds of miles away. We see how Olin responds next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Yeah. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.